Okay. We'll pray and we'll jump right into this. Father God, we glorify you as always, and we just praise you for who you are. We thank you for, again, the blessed privilege of getting into your presence. We just seek wisdom and understanding as far as our lesson is concerned. And we thank you for that. The opportunity is always just to get understanding. In your name we do pray. Amen. We're still dealing with the angel of God, and we're understanding or coming into the understanding about how the lung.
Hey, my man.
So we're dealing with the subject matter of angel of God to, we're coming to an understanding that there are connections to this angel that always, or at least in most cases at this point, it points to Yah, or the angel of the Lord, I might say. And I may kind of do both of them. So I'll do angel of the Lord, and we'll see. And then I may also jump into angel of God to just to make sure that we're understanding this. So I don't know how long we'll be on this. It's just okay. I believe the last place we dealt with Numbers 20, verse 16. So we'll start there. Numbers 20, verse 16, and like I said, I'm just going to be pretty much reading what I'm dealing with, all the subject matters associated with this, and so I try to find a place where we can start. We'll just start at verse 14 again. Numbers 20, verse 14 said, Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Sodom. Thus says God, and Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Sodom. Thus said thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has fallen us. So do you understand why he said brother? Okay. I'll give you this here so that you can see it. When you look at King of Edom, Edom is the elder twin brother of Jacob. Okay. Edom, it means red, as you see here. We also have a reference as far as Genesis 25 and 25. So the reason why Moses sent messengers to Edom was because Edom was truly their brothers. They had their, in other words, they were, if that's what they explain it, nowadays they were cousins. But the scripture didn't call nations cousins and all that, it's just their brother. Because Edom comes from Esau. Edom comes from Esau, and Jacob and Esau were brothers. That's why it says Edom, the elder twin brother of Jacob. Okay? Jacob is the father of Israel. So Moses is a descendant of Israel, and this king of Edom is a descendant of Esau. And so that's why he says, thus said thy brother, okay, thus said thy brother Israel, Jacob, okay? And so they were, the names represented the family. So again, as I always stress, Israel is a man, not a country, not a land, it's a man. So he said, thus said thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us, and our fathers, and when we cried unto Yah, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and has brought us forth out of Egypt and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. So just to show you here, when you look at verse 16, the word Kadesh, it means sanctuary, a place in the desert. It also runs 6947, if you just want to click on just see what that is, 6947, it means wilderness, wandering, okay? So when you look at that, and it's referring to these things, that, you know, that's how we understand it. So it's to the right of the screen, I mean to the left of the screen now. So it says again, and when we cried unto Yah, he heard our voice and sent an angel and has brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in the wilderness, Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. Okay? We will not turn to the right hand nor to the left until we have passed our borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with a sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of that water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. But as we look at this here, you know, this is an area where I really didn't want to get off into, but it just goes to show how Edom or Esau was an enemy to us as a nation of people. So, you know, because of who we were as a people and how Yah blessed us, but then from the perspective of Edom, they always felt that that we as a nation stole their birthright to our father Jacob. And so that's where the issue is stemming from. But when you look at verse 16, it says, and when we cried unto Yah, he heard our voice and sent an angel. But an angel is Yah himself. Okay? Yah came down to see, as when we dealt with that in, I believe, Exodus 3 and 2. Yah came down to see. So the angel is Yah, just to show us different scriptures here. Now we'll move to Numbers 22 and 22. We'll go back up. We'll just go to verse 20. And you just read these stories on your own about Balaam. Balaam ended up dying because of this. But Numbers 22, verse 20 says, and Yah came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and fell on his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And Yah's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord, stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now notice what it says here. It says that Yah's anger was kindled because he went, colon. Which connects Yah's anger to this angel. Okay? You have to understand that it's one and the same. And Yah's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of Yah stood in the way for an adversary against him. You know, Yah can be an adversary. Let's look at the word adversary. Most people always blame things on the devil. You know, Yah can be a Satan. Satan is an adversary. They give the name to the devil, but at the same time, anything that opposes you can be a Satan. So when the Savior said, get thee behind me, Satan, in referring to Peter, Peter became an adversary because he was telling Christ that you know, he wasn't going to do things that God had defined and sent him to do. He was sent to die. He was sent to die for our sins. But yet at the same time, because Peter didn't understand that, Peter coming across as someone who was looking out for the best interest of Christ became an adversary to Christ because he was going against the will of God. So anybody can be a saint. Okay? So when you look at it, it says adversary, that means Satan. So it says an opponent, especially it says with the archer prefix, Satan, the arch enemy of good. Anything that is an enemy of good is Satan. Okay? So we have to expand our thinking to understand that. So Yah stood as and Satan, an adversary. The Hebrew means Satan. Okay? So when you look at Satan, that is Hebrew for adversary. Okay? Okay? It is actually, you know, so it is actually Sultan. Sultan. Satan. So you said Satan, but Sultan. And so that is the Hebrew meaning for adversary. Okay? And so as we continue to move on here again, it said, and Yah's anger was kindled because he went, because Balaam went. And the angel of Yah stood in the way for an adversary against them, stood in the way for a Satan against them. Now he was riding up on his ass, Balaam was, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of Yah, the donkey saw Yah. So here you have a maiden having encounters with Yah. Who was that? Hagar. So here you had her. You know, she saw Yah. Here you have is it mentioned that a donkey is seeing Yah. And so Yah has encountered with mankind. It just says we've been taught wrong to the point to where we don't expect those kind of encounters, and even when they're happening to us, we're not aware of them because we don't make the connection that we've encountered Yah. Okay, and so it says in the ad, verse 23, saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. Yah has a sword. And Ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of Yah stood in a path of the vineyard, a wall being on the side, and a well on that side. Okay, a wall and a well. Okay? And when the ass saw the angel of Yah, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of Yah went further and stood in a narrow path, in a narrow place, where was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of Yah, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And Yah, see, the angel of Yah, this is Yah. And Yah opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, the donkey starts to talk. Okay? Yah opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill thee? He's so mad because his donkey crushed his foot. She keeps falling down. She don't want to do what he's wanting her to do. But all the time, she's trying to save his life. He's seeing Yah, but Balaam ain't seeing nothing. Okay? Now, verse 30. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast written ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. The dog was like, have I ever been disobedient? Have I ever done you wrong? He said, no. He said, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of Yah standing in the way, and his thorn drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore, did someone say something? And the angel of Yah said unto him, verse 32, said unto him, wherefore hast thou spitten thine ass thee three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Why would it be a literal angel saying that his way is perverse? What is the way? What does the word perverse mean? Let's look at it. Headlong, to hurl, you're not pleasing. You could use it as a rash. In other words, when we make rash decisions and things like that, Yah is saying, okay, that's perverseness. That's how we make a rash decision, do something without being instructed by Yah. Yah said that's perverseness. But look at how the angel is saying this. Look at how the angel is saying this. It says, verse 32, and the angel of Yah said unto him, wherefore hast thou spitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had turned from me. Surely now also I have slain thee and saved her alive. That donkey saved his life. Okay? That donkey saved his life. Verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me as an adversary. Against me, now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Verse 35, and the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee. What did Yah say in the beginning? Go back up. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull up two of them so you can see it.
Yeah.
Numbers 22.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 35. We're going to also look at what was it, verse 20? Is that what it said? Yeah. Yeah. Now look at what it says in verse 20. It shows you that the angel of the Lord is one and the same as Yah. Numbers 22, verse 20, and then we're going to look at Numbers 22, verse 35. It says, and Yah came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shall thou do. Look at what the angel of the Lord said. So it's one and the same. And the angel of Yah said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Okay? And so as we see here, we're seeing the angel of Yah, and we're seeing Yah himself. Same words. We're constantly seeing more and more scriptures confirm that the angel of Yah is just another title that Yah wears. Okay? There are angels of Yah, but Yah can wear that title also. He's a messenger. And it's like this. If, I'm going to use the Lord of the Lord now. I can send Virgil, my brother-in-law, as an angel, messenger for me. I could be like, okay, you know, I need for you to go, to the building and give the general contractor a message for me. At that time, he is an angel. He is a messenger, because that's what an angel is. He is a messenger for me. Okay? But then there are times that I can go to the building and give the general contractor a message myself. That makes me the messenger. Okay? There are my words. I didn't have to send anybody. I went myself. If I send my brother-in-law Murder to go and deliver the message, he is a messenger of love. If I go myself, then I myself am a messenger of me, of love. I'm a messenger of myself, or I send my brother-in-law as a messenger of love, or I go as a messenger of love. Either way, I am given a message in reference to what I want to take place. And when he goes with that message, he has the same authority that I have when I go as that angel myself. I can go as an angel carrying a message of my own. That's how we have to learn how to see God. And we have to look at the writing and the contextual meaning in order to understand if God or whether or not God is going with a message himself, or he is going as a messenger himself, or he's sending someone as a messenger for him. Okay? And now, most people may struggle with this because they say, wait a minute. You saying that God actually has a sword? Why would God need a sword? Well, his son had one. Okay? We're just going to let the technology do it. Elder's not here, and so since he's not here, I'm going to use my technology. I still can get him to do some things, but I'll wait. Church in Pergamos, right? These things says he, which had the sharp two-edged, which had the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and y'all have me to go back. We're going to go back to chapter 1. Now, Revelation chapter 1 says, so the book of Revelation verse 1 gives us an understanding of how the book of Revelation was given. Revelation 1 verse 1 says, the revelation of Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, the revelation of Yehoshua Mashiach, which Yah gave unto him. Who gave the revelation? The Father gave the revelation to the Son. Okay? The revelation of Yehoshua Mashiach, the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom Yah gave unto him to show unto his servants, plural, things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Okay? Who bear record of the word of Yah and of the testimony of Yehoshua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Okay? Now, when you look at this here, Yah is the source by this revelation is come, and he's passing down to Christ, who passed it down to again, which Yah gave unto him to show unto his servant, saying, which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. It was passed down to John basically in a nutshell. So when we get into chapter 2 now, go back, and it says, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things said he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. With two edges. Who is the he? Okay, who is the he? I know thy works. This is what he is saying, that has the two, that has a sword. That's two edged. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Satan's adversary's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a true thing against thee, because thou hast there are them that hold a doctrine of Balaam. We're reading about that. Okay? The doctrine of Balaam, as you continue to read this story, Balaam told his king how to get our people out of the will of Yah. He said, get them to commit sin themselves, because I can't curse them. That's what the doctrine of Balaam is, right here in 14. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. You can read it here in Numbers 22. Okay, stumbling block before the children of Israel. To eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication, idolatry. And there were also sexual sins that were associated with this thing too. As you continue to read Numbers 22 and maybe even 23 also. As a matter of fact, when you, I'll just use my Bible technology here. You run a cross-reference of it. You see it's this, Numbers 24, okay? And that's where you see it, where he gives the doctrine of Balaam. He says, now behold, I go unto my people, come therefore, and I will advertise, I will advise thee on what this people shall do to thy people in latter days. So when you read the doctrine of Balaam and follow Numbers 25, verse 1, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. So it was idolatry, but it was also fornication too. Okay, so that's what that's about. And so that's the doctrine of Balaam, what he's referring to in Revelation, okay? And so as you look at it, he threw the stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Numbers 25 and 1. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Which thing I hate, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Okay? With the sword of verse 16, with the sword of my mouth. When you look at mouth, it says stretching from an assumed derivative. The mouth, as if a gas in the face, it's talking about the actual mouth, which you understand. It says the front or edge of a weapon. Okay, so when you look at it from a perspective of the sword of my mouth, it says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And so I wanted to go here to show you that Yah has a two-edged sword, but at the same time, there are some things in reference to where, you know, the scripture points out that it says the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6. It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. Okay? But I want us to understand that Yah does have a sword. That's why I wanted to use these different scriptures so that you can see it. And I don't want to go to all of them, but I just wanted you to understand that Yah, you know, he does have a sword. Okay? I'm going to see if there are some other things in Revelation 1 to also... that were also mentioned. Revelation 1 verse 16 said, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shines in his strength. Okay? And so we're seeing an association with that two-edged sword in reference to in his mouth, so to speak. But I wanted to show you some things from that perspective that Yah does, he does have a actual sword. But at the same time, his mouth is a symbol of that too, because whatever he said, you know, it cuts, and it does the same damage as far as the actual sword is concerned. Okay. Again, Numbers 22, verse 27 said, when the ass saw the angel of Yah, we already dealt with that. Verse 32, then the angel of Yah said unto him, verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of Yah, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of Yah said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Okay. Now I'm not going to continue on with the story because we're dealing with a specific topic, dealing with the angel of the angel of Yah. So we dealt with them as we see all through Numbers 22. We kept reading it. 32, 34, 35. Now we're going to move to Judges 2, verse 1. Okay. Judges 2, verse 1 said, and the angel of God came up from Gilgal, to Bacchum, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. Look, the angel of the Lord said. The angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt. Well, we know this is Yah. I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. This is the angel of the Lord saying it. And so most people, because they see the word angel, and I'm pounding it in, they automatically think this is an angel speaking on behalf of Yah. But Yah just showing you another title that he wears when he's dealing with certain things in reference to our people. Okay? Verse 2. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Y'all see, y'all tell our people ye didn't obey us. Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. Verse 4. And it came to pass when the angel of Yah spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of the place Bacchus. And they sacrificed there unto Yah. Okay? This is Yah dealing with our nation here. Okay? Just another title again. We'll go to verse 5, Judges 5. We'll go to verse 23. I just want to see other place I want to start. Verse 23 says, "Curse ye Miraz. Curse ye Miraz, said the angel of Yah. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty." Okay? "Blessed above women shall Jael," I want to read all of that because that I want to focus that on the angel of the again the angel of the Lord. That's my subject matter. So as you see here, all these scriptures are giving one confirmation after another. 6 and 11. Just 6 and 11. Go to verse 10. I just started verse 10. We need to go back up. We will. "And I said unto you, I am Yah your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whom land ye dwell. Yeah, I promise, man. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of Yah and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of Yah appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with me, why then is all this befallen us? And we be all his miracles which our fathers told us of. And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not Yah bring us up from Egypt? The angel of Yah. But now Yah has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And Yah looked upon him." Wait a minute. I thought it was an angel. Yeah, this is Yah. "And Yah looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" This angel is Yah. "And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And Yah said unto him," the same angel of Yah said unto him. That's how you know it's Yah. When you look at the word and how it's being worded, he's not speaking on behalf of Yah. This is Yah. "And Yah said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." The angel of Yah, the angel of Yah go before the nation of Israel. That's Yah. Okay? "Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my presence, and sit it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again." This is Yah. Okay? Let's continue reading. Read it now. "And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and flesh he put in a basket. And he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak." Who's under the oak? The angel? Yah. Yah's under the oak tree. Okay? The angel, Yah. "And presented it. And the angel of Yah said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cake, and lay it upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so.
Then the anger of Yah put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand. Yah got a staff too. People want to live in Yah. Yah can have whatever he want to have. And the angel of Yah put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh of the unleavened cake. And there rose a fire out of the rock. This is Yah. And consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. Then the angel of Yah departed out of his sight because it was Yah. So we can understand who this angel of the Yah is. So be not surprised when you entertain angels, Yah, unaware. So you got people going around thinking that they have an encounter with the angel, and Yah saying, no, you have an encounter with me. You just don't know how I roll. You don't know how I do things. And because you used to seeing and me being described as the Almighty Yah from a perspective of my glory point of view, you can't realize that I've met with you a lot of times. And you went away saying there was something different about that person. It's just that because we don't understand how we have encounters with him, and we don't expect these kind of encounters, we don't know that we're entertaining Yah unaware. He could show up as a man. I tell you the truth, I've had encounters with him a whole lot of times. Now you know what I mean. A lot of times when I say I speak to Yah face to face, you have spoken to him face to face too. You just wasn't discerning between the man that you was looking at and Almighty Yah being that angel of himself. Sometimes he'll show up to you as a messenger instead of in all the glory that he is in his fullness thereof. You can't stand before that. That's why the scripture says no man has seen Yah at any time. Can't stand in front of that presence when he's in the full magnificence or glory of who he is. So there are times when he comes to you as a messenger. So when you entertain this thing, you see something that's going on, and you're like, man, I was just doing this. I'm going to tell you when I met Yah. Yah just showed me that. One time I left Honey Grove. That's a basketball game. I was in college at the time, but I had come home for a period of time. And I decided to take a trip after the basketball game. And I kind of messed around a little bit at the house before I left. But when I got in the car, I'm gonna say it like y'all had me to say it. I was hell bent on that which was not from a perspective of looking out for myself. And so there is a bridge, hold on, since you may have to help me, what's that bridge from Honey Grove to Suffer?
Yeah.
There's a Suffer bridge that goes, that's between another town called Ladonia and Honey Grove. And I passed that school bus that was from another town, or they were going back home after the basketball game playing Honey Grove. So I passed that bus on that bridge. When I passed that bus, our car was running between 90 and 100 miles per hour. Had it on like cousins of mine, and that thing could run. You know, the speedometer said, I think 120, and that thing was dropping low to 120, and the four barrel would kick in when I get up around 120 miles per hour. So it would speed up. That car was so fast that I was on Interstate 35 taking a friend of mine home after we had got off work. And this car passed me going about 100, like he passed us like we were sitting still, all of them. And I guess I was gonna make about 70 somewhere. And then that car passed me like I was sitting still. And I told my friend, I said, I'm gonna wait till he barely see his headlights and I'm gonna go catch him. He's like, man, you ain't gonna catch that car, man. I said, watch. And as soon as I barely could see his headlights, I hit it. And when I did, when it hit 120 miles per hour, the four barrel kicked in. Meaning that it changed gears so that I could get to the top speed of that car could go. And when it did, I was in a four-lane, you know, 35 at the time was four-lane freeway. And that car was going so fast, all four lanes drawed up and looked like it was one. It's like all the lanes said, we were going so fast, it looked like we went in a tunnel. And that thing, it looked like it was just one lane. I couldn't see the stripes. The car was going so fast, I couldn't even see the individual stripes. It just looked like all of it was just together. And it all had come to one lane. That's how fast that car was going. And when I passed that other car, like it was sitting still, it blew that guy. He said, man, what you got in this thing? I said, man, all I know is I just put a carburetor on this thing, and it's the original engine. This car just run like that. Well, that same car, I passed that school bus going about 90 miles per hour on that bridge. But when I started to come into commerce, they changed it now. You would make a turn without really stopping, and you would, you know, they got a stop sign and a flashing light there now, but back then when I was, you know, a teenager, you could just come straight from Ladonia to Commerce and just hit that curve and keep right on going. Well, when I got to that bridge, temperature had dropped. It was below freezing. Well, when I got to that bridge was completely iced over. I didn't know it. But I could see as I was driving, and I'm telling you, I was going between a 90 and 100 miles per hour. I could see this liner swaying back and forth on the side of the road, and I still said, what is that? I'm like, man, what is this thing I see that's lit? I said, it looks like a liner going back and like swinging back and forth, back and forth. And so that made me slow down because I don't know. I was like, I don't know what this is. And so I started to slow down, and when I got to this lantern that's swinging in the middle of the road, I bet I wasn't doing no more than 10, 15 miles per hour because I'm trying to keep it this big. Well, it was a man standing there with a trench coat on and a hat swinging this lantern, and there was a car standing beside a car. And the headlight was going across the road where I was going. Well, I passed it, and when I passed it, when I passed that, and I began to speed up, it was black ice on that bridge. And when I began to speed up, my rear end started to turn, and when it did, I went sideways and hit the bridge and sprayed all up inside the bridge from the front end of my car to the back. I sprayed all upside the wall of the bridge, and then my car spent and hit the bridge itself. I hit it. And so I get out of the car, and when I get out of the car, it was so slippery, I almost fell. And matter of fact, when I hit that bridge, other cars saw me in the bridge from both ways, and they stopped. Because they was like, okay, you know, they stopped because I was across the whole bridge. And I'm wrecked out on the bridge. And so I get out, and I look down the street, and this man standing down there with that lantern just in his hand. He wasn't waving no more than nothing. He just standing at the end in that bridge looking at me. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, okay, why you didn't tell me it was ice on the bridge? He didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing. He just stood at the end of that bridge. And I started to walk down there where he was. I'm like, man, why you didn't, I know you waving the lantern and slowing me down, but I slowed down long enough. You should have said, there's ice on the bridge. Didn't say nothing. So I got back in the car, and man, I know my car tore up bad, man. I know it's bad. I said, but it's too dark. I can't see how bad it's damaged. And so I kept bagging up a little bit, sliding all on the bridge, until I finally got it straightened out enough to drive off the bridge. Now, I remind you of this. All the rest of the road is normal. It's just that bridge only that was iced over. Only bridge iced over in that whole area. So I drove to into Commerce, and I'm simply like, man, I know this car tore up. I'm going to stop at this gas station and take a look and see how bad it's damaged. When I got out, the only scratch on that car was a little nick that was on the front outside headlight. You know, the old Cutlass had them double lights on each side of the, on each side. There were double lights. It was an old 75 Cutlass that I think I photos of. And it was just a little bitty small scratch on the passenger side headlight. And I sprayed all up and down that bridge. Another spot on that car. And when I saw that, I said, man, because I'm talking according to what I understood at the time, but I understand more now. At the time, I said, man, that was an angel. That was an angel standing standing before that bridge to slow me down, because if I had hit that bridge doing the speed that I was doing, I may not be here today. That was Yah. Be careful when you entertain strangers unaware. Be careful when somebody come up there and you're in a bad situation, they just show up and change that flat. Mama Coach got a serious story that she can tell you about. Mama Coach, you need to tell that. And she can tell you about an incident that she had in reference to this. It's like out of nowhere, the bus came through and picked her up. I think it was a bus.
Mama, go ahead with that. Okay, so hold up, Mama, go. Let me finish, man, then you tell it. We'll end with that. Okay, okay. I'm sorry. Now, you have to be careful when you entertain strangers. You're entertaining Yah unaware, not just an angel. Yah himself have come to your rescue.
You have been too important for him to send an angel. He came as a messenger himself. Now go ahead and tell that story, Mama Cole. It won't blow your way.
Okay, so me, my oldest sister, and my son, and I think like three of my nephews had driven all the way to Florida, and we were on our way back, and we had a blowout, and when we had that blowout, we were right there where a Sears store was, so we just pulled in there. And, you know, that wasn't by coincidence, because back in those days, we didn't have cell phones and all that kind of stuff. So pulled into Sears and got that tire replaced. Then we got back on the interstate, and as we're heading toward Tyler, I guess we were, like, in Longview or something like that, and we had another blowout. And at that point in time, it was no traffic coming or going on Interstate 20. It was just us. And when the tire blew, I just, you know, it's almost like it wasn't none of me. I just pulled over to the side of the road, didn't lose control. Car wasn't wobbling or nothing. Pull over to the side of the road. And we had to get everything out the trunk to get to the spare. And then my son at the time, he was like maybe, I don't know, 13. And him and his cousin, they couldn't get the lug bolts off the tire because it was stripped. And it's like, now I got my sister and all these kids out here. What am I going to do? And it was in the heat of the day, and I'm just standing there baffled about what to do. So I told my son and his cousin Nick, I said, y'all need to walk down there until you get to the gas station and call somebody to come help us. So in the meantime, while I'm pondering all of this, this Continental Trailways bus passed us, pulled over to the side of the road, then backed up to our car. And this guy got out, and he asked what the problem was. And, you know, I explained all of that. and he tried, and he couldn't get the lug bolts off the car, so he said that we could ride. He asked where we were going, and I said to Tyler. So he said that's on his way. He was headed, I don't know, I guess to Dallas or somewhere. I don't even remember. But he said he could drop us off in Lindale, which is, you know, not far from where Tyler is. And we said, okay. So we all got our stuff, got on the bus. There was not another single person on the bus. Nobody on the bus. The bus was immaculately clean, and it was so cool in there. And I don't mean cool as in cool. I mean cool as in air conditioned. And we got on that bus, and I don't even remember. I remember talking to the man, but I can't remember nothing that I said. And when he pulled off the interstate over there at McDonald's somewhere and let us out, and we thanked him and everything, and he went on his way. And it's like, that's interesting. So, I mean, what could it be except an angel? Because we were out there, and like I said, little kids and out in that heat and not knowing what to do. But he sent us a bus, a clean, air-conditioned bus. Everybody got on their own seat, and we enjoyed that the rest of the trip back to Tyler. Now, when I got back to Tyler, this is a different thing. Somebody had broken into my house, so that's a different matter.
About it, y'all. We all have testimonies about strange encounters that's hard to explain. And when you look at it, you're like, okay, that really didn't make no sense how that happened, why it happened, but it was something strange going on with the happenings of it. And when you look at it, you're like, this is just not a coincidence. All of us have a story where we've been entertained by a stranger. So the scripture tells us, you know, when you entertain a stranger, you may be entertaining an angel unaware. You may be entertaining God himself unaware. Be careful when you entertain. Be discerning. Be sensitive to what's going on around you. And you just may get in a conversation with God. He may just let you know who he is. Okay. And I guarantee all of us have these type of testimonies. And so, you know, I just wanted, you know, Mom and to share that. You know, here you have a continental bus coming through. Nobody's on it. And he just comes through right at the right time. Somebody may say, well, that's a coincidence. Well, I beg to differ. I believe that was a stranger that she entertained that was an angel unaware. Okay? And that's the thing that people have a hard time understanding about God. They don't believe he can drive a bus. He can do whatever he wants.
Pastor, can I say one more thing?
Go ahead.
This is a small thing, but, you know, to me it just speaks to y'all being concerned about what we're concerned about. And I don't know why I'm getting so emotional, because it's small, but it's very significant. Okay, so when I was married, my husband at the time had left. I didn't know he was gone. And so I heard the horn blow, so I went to open the door to the garage, and it was nobody out there. And I happened to look in my car, and it was like, and I hadn't washed my car, hadn't moved my car. It was one stream of water coming down from the top of the window to the bottom of the window, and it was a business car stuck to the glass of the window where that water was. And it was a card that my dad, it's a card that my dad had given me when Al was a baby, when Allie was a baby. And he told me to keep that, and when Al grew up, to let him know that he had bought a set of tires for me so I wouldn't have to be on the road, you know, with tires that weren't good. So, excuse me. I showed the card to my husband at the time, and he took the card, and he didn't know what he did with the card. And that troubled me. It bothered me. But, you know, how can you find one business card somewhere? He didn't know. He could have been in the trash, could have been on the side of the road or anything. But that particular day, the horn blowed. I opened the door. There's nobody there. The garage door was down. And there's this one little stream of water with this card stuck to it. And to me, that was awesome.
I'm telling you, we all got those testimonies. It's just that we got to learn how to be sensitive enough to God to know that He loves us and we are having an encounter with Him. He's bringing us back to Himself where He can have these kind of encounters with us. And I often say to you that I speak to God face to face, and I do. But I want to encourage you to understand that I'm not the only one He wants to speak to face to face, nor am I the only one who He has spoken to face to face. It's just that, you know, I may be one of the few people who are able to recognize what He's speaking. You know, and a lot of people give credit to Yah speaking to them as something saved. He's speaking all the time. He's dealing with you all the time. You just call Him something saved instead of calling Him who He is. Okay? And that's why we're dealing with this lesson, because Yah is wanting to have encounters with us. He's wanting to teach us His ways. And He wants to dwell in the midst of His people. But we have to be receptive and know that when He show up, you know, there's so much going on, you know, that when He show up, we ain't trying to be all defensive and trying to run away because we think it's somebody, some stranger trying to do something to us. Be discerning, be consistent, and know that you and y'all in, He's going to always protect you. And you never know, as verse 19 says, Judges 6, He may want to meet you under an oak tree somewhere. You know, be ready for those encounters, okay? Any questions or comments? If not, I'm going to stop right here. We'll pick up and Judges 6 again next week. We good? Okay. Father, Yah, we bless Your name on today. We say thank You for another level of understanding. We seek wisdom, as always, and we thank You for giving it to us. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Amen.